Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
What are these guys' lifestyles like Brian Tracy and Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins, do you know?
Well, that's a loaded question. This is Michael?
Yep, hey Peter.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, how about yourself?
Good, go ahead and ask anything you want.
You said you were the former senior marketing manager for Nightingale Conan.
Uh-huh.
How did you get involved with them, and what were you doing even before you were with them?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I ended up getting involved in the self-help industry totally by accident. I was a manager, supervisor with UPS, and I was kind of down in my career, and I was getting tired of it, and I was looking for some answers. I wanted to get into a more professional environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be in a boss's office, and he had a book laying on the ground, not on the ground, but on a desk that caught my eyes. It was The Magic of Thinking Big by Schwartz.
Okay.
One of my favorite marketing books. And then he had on the wall, and it was funny, I never noticed it before, it was a picture of a bunch of sled dogs. And the caption on it said, if you're not the lead dog, your view never changes.
Yeah, okay.
I thought, you know, if this guy's got this kind of picture and he's reading these kind of books and he's, you know, very successful, a guy, I figured, well, you know, I better read this book, The Magic of Thinking Big, and, you know, check it out. And I did, and I loved it. And that led me to...
How old were you at the time?
That was, oh, boy, 24.
Okay, so you're in 20. And are you from Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of funny. I ended up going to Successories from there. They were a company that makes all those motivational pictures and plaques and what have you.
Well, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, I ended up becoming a manager for them, and of course just. It had tapes and books and everything you can imagine available to me, and I devoured this stuff for about a year, and finally it dawned on me to look actually at the back of one of the tape sets, and I noticed Nightingale Conan, and I noticed they were in Niles, Illinois, so I figured, you know, this is a company I need to work with, so I figured I'm going to do anything I can to get in the company, and I'll just prove myself, and that's what I did. Ended up coming into Nightingale Conan. I interviewed with them and told the HR manager, if you put me in sales, I'll be your number one salesperson within a couple months. Did it. Ended up getting promoted into all different areas within the company. I was manager of outbound telemarketing. I was manager of interactive media. I did product development. I actually was one of the only people, maybe the only person within the company ever, who conceptualized the program, did the deal with the author for the program, helped write the program and produce the program, and marketed the program not only to Nightingale customers successfully, but sold it to a major publisher. And that particular product that I'm referring to was a CD-ROM, How to Become a Self-Made Millionaire with Brian Tracy. So
mm-hmm.
I've done it all there for the most part. And then I became a senior marketing manager in charge of direct mail kits, product strategy, working with the authors, negotiating deals. And then before I left the company, I did my own program finally with Bob Proctor called Negotiate Your Way to Riches. So I ended up achieving my goal of doing my own program, and then I've kind of looked into other avenues. That's when I left the company.
Uh-huh.
Direct marketing for authors and for other companies.
So what do you do now?
I do direct marketing strategy for various companies. I've done work with the Church of Scientology, PSI Seminars. I've worked very close with Joe Sugarman of Blue Blocker Corporation. We did promotions with the Cubs. all sorts of things.
So will you'll go after a company and you'll tell them who you are and what you've done, your experience, and you'll come in as a marketing consultant?
Marketing consultants, strategy consultants, kind of work in both areas. As of late, I've started an entertainment company where I'm taking new talent and doing local promotions. I mean, I want to get eventually into entertainment promotion and just stay with that. But using my direct marketing strategies and skills that I've learned throughout my career.
When you were with Nightingale Conant, when you first came with them, like how many years ago was that, and how were they doing at that time as a company?
I believe that was 1992. They were doing really well. They were selling really well, and actually that was a peak time for them.
Do you know the story behind, like, exactly how did that company totally evolve? Was it with Earl Nightingale?
Well, There's different scenarios, but actually at a Christmas party, Hazel Conant, who is Dick's mother, told me that she was listening to the radio one day, and she heard Earl Nightingale doing his TV show, or excuse me, his radio show on IGN, Sky King. And she called Lloyd's attention to it, and Lloyd started listening to it and fell in love with his motivational moments, so to speak. And he called Earl, and they formed a partnership. He owned a company. Lloyd owned a company called, I think it was Specialty Printing.
How old were these guys at that time?
I couldn't tell you that. I just know they had to be somewhere in their 30s, 40s.
Are they both, or Earl Nightingale's dead?
They both passed away in the 80s.
I can't
remember the exact years, but they both passed away in the 80s.
Okay. Is it a private company?
Yes.
It is.
Owned by Dick Conant.
Oh, okay. And they're basically the only player in town, aren't they? Or major player.
And Fred Pryor was in there. There were a couple of players, but nobody really focused where Nightingale did and more the motivation. I think that Fred Pryor and Career Track focus more in the areas of technical training for secretaries, for accountants, for finance people. More in that vein, whereas really the Brian Tracys, the Tony Robbins, the Steve Covey's, they all went to Nightingale.
I see.
And of course, a lot of these authors have their own organizations too.
So is Nightingale Conant responsible for making some of these guys, putting these guys on the map, or what would you say?
Well, I guess that depends who you ask, if you ask us or them. But
yeah.
Most of the authors had something going prior to Nightingale, but it was nowhere near the magnitude of what they ended up with as a result of Nightingale.
Right.
Brian Tracy's an example. I mean, he had a business doing sales consulting and what have you prior to Nightingale, but then he got really heavy in the taste business as a result of us. Of course, the seminar business flourished because of
it. Right.
And he had the talent to do it, so we can't dispel that.
Exactly. So, when you came in with Nightingale Conant and you became their number one salesman, in what aspect were you doing sales? Were you generating sales through telemarketing or direct sales or pounding the streets or what?
Telemarketing at the time.
So Nightingale, was it mainly an outbound telemarketing operation?
No, I was doing inbound.
So it was inbound. And they had
we did some of both, actually. I shouldn't say that. We did mainly inbound, some outbound. It didn't matter. I could sell Nightingale Conant programs all day long.
Yeah. What do you think the percentage is of people who get these programs actually listen to this stuff?
Well, you have to be a little bit clearer or a little more focused when you say listen.
Well, I mean,
pop the package open and listen to one tape.
Yeah. I mean, you know human nature. Most people who buy a book never even, crack it, much less get to the last page. From your experience and what you knew about, I don't know if that reflected in product returns, but just you knowing what you know about people, do you have any insight into, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. I'd say over half, definitely, 60-70% would crack the package. We would get back maybe 15% of all the packages unopened. So I'd say somewhere around there.
Now,
let me further explain that. Actually, your return rate total would be between 15-25%. That'd be on the high end, 25%. And out of those, 15% would come in.
Now, what?
And I could tell you a lot of the reasons people didn't open them. Nightingale Kona used to do a 30-day guarantee. A lot of people just couldn't get them.
Couldn't get to them. They'd return.
They couldn't get to them and figured they had to return them as opposed to calling us and extending their 30-day trial, which we would have done for another 30 days.
Do they still have a 30-day?
Yes.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
If they increase the guarantee, they probably get less returns.
Well, maybe, but you have to be careful with that, because if you're starting to do 60-day trials, then your cash flow will be terrible.
Who is Nightingale's, who is their customer, if you were to profile their customer?
Well, it's divided. It's actually kind of a trifecta, so to speak. You have business customers, you have motivation customers, and you have your spiritual new age customers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of scattered throughout, you have your learning customers who are into mind development and speed reading, what have you, health.
And how do you break those up as far as the biggest markets and the most money as far as selling to these?
Well, they're pretty equal, but I would say your spiritual content, your Wayne Dyer programs, your Deepak Chopra, that type of thing is your highest growth area.
It is. Just in the last 10 years or even?
Oh, yeah, it's been crazy.
Uh-huh.
When I was at Nightingale, I focused a lot of efforts on bringing in spiritual products.
Uh-huh. And what kind of trends have you seen as far as, say, motivational, rah-rah stuff?
Well, I would say the motivation is actually dropping off, and I think you're seeing that reflected in the industry where speaking engagements are going down. And again, there's only a few real players in it, too. Whereas the spiritual tends to have more players.
Huh. Why don't you tell me some of the most exciting things as far as working with people. You said you've worked with a lot of these guys.
Uh-huh.
Who are some of the people you've worked with that, you know, some of the bigger names?
Well, if I had to go back through the history, it's a hard question because there's been so many. I'd say that some of my best experiences were going to work on seminar promotions like with Tony Robbins and Aspire Walk. Getting to do that and meeting Tony was exciting. Done promotions with Brian Tracy where I got to go to the live events, Deepak Chopra. There was a lot of that. There was a lot of good interaction. And the other side of the coin, too, I enjoyed working with the Dan Kennedys and the Joe Vitalis and the Jay Abrahams. Those people were very exciting. Ted Nicholas, Joe Sugarman. I got to meet a lot of great people from Nightingale, and I learned a lot on the business side. I'm really taking those tapes, and not just marketing them, but prior to that, learning them. And I think that's the key to being a successful marketer, is to take something you're passionate about and be able to bring that out and put your enthusiasm in print or however channel it is you're using. And that's always been my secret to success in marketing.
It is learning it.
Learning the product and getting enthusiastic about it. There have been products that have come into Nightingale more than I've taken, of course, and said this is junk, and I didn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. So what aspect, how would you, give us an example like, say, Dan Kennedy. Uh-huh. In what aspect did you work with him? How did it work? What was your job?
Well, for instance, Dan Kennedy, the product I was closest to, and we had several, was magnetic marketing.
Okay.
And my responsibility was I actually found the product because I had scouted Dan for a long time and what he was doing, contacted him, got the product in, and went through the whole product to make sure I even wanted to offer it to the customers, and
mm-hmm.
It was a great product.
Now, I've heard Dan talk about how magnetic marketing out of all his products has been his number one selling product.
Oh, yeah.
Is that because of you guys?
It's a hot product. Well, Dan markets on his own very successfully because, you know, he used to do the Peter Lowe tour.
Right, right, that's right.
Seminars and his super seminars that he does with, you know, the Carol Galettis and
mm-hmm.
the Alberts. And, you know, he has a lot of guests, and he sells a lot through that.
Okay.
But what I did next was, of course, I talked to Dan, and we worked out the deal for the product after I went through it. And, of course, I got to learn the product, which is phenomenal in itself, which talks about how you use direct marketing for your prospecting. I don't know if you've been through the program.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a phenomenal concept to me, and I said, of course, you know, we have to offer this. And we struck a deal, and I took a lot of Dan's existing copy and rewrote it for the Nightingale Kona customers, and it was very successful for us.
Did it go in a catalog, or was it marketed? Would you market through direct mail individual products?
Sold that product to mostly J. Abraham buyers, and of course, then we kind of scattered over the rest of our business file. sold to them also. Because there's a certain profile who would buy his product. And it's very small.
Does Nightingale rent their list out?
Yes.
So could I go on the SRDS and look at Nightingale's list and buy it segmented by author?
There's a list manager who takes care of all that, and you would just call her.
That's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, if you just call the company and ask to speak to the list manager, she can point you in the direction of who the broker is. I believe they use Ruben Response.
Okay.
Which is in Schaumburg, Illinois. I believe they use them. I could be wrong, but she'd be the person to ask.
Right.
And they could break it down however they want to do it. Generally, now, from what I've heard, is they want to exchange names more than rent.
Oh, really?
Which makes sense for everybody.
Yeah. You know, I get a lot of people who are good at something. When people call me and they say, well, you know, they're asking for advice or whatever, I always go back and ask them, what are they good at and what do they enjoy? Because everyone's sitting on a product right within their experience. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's what I tell people. Now, from your experience, what do you see? I mean, you see a lot of products come across your desk, or you review a lot of products.
Right.
And are you at the point where you can identify what's going to be a hot product, or does it all go back to testing? What criteria do you look for in identifying a good information product?
First of all, it has to be content packed. There has to be, if there's 60 minutes of tape on a tape, I want to hear 60 minutes worth of different things, not a bunch of BS. A lot of people put fluff on their tapes. I want to look back at their background. Can I promote this author's background? What other business are they involved in other than selling tapes? That's crucial. For instance, a great example is Joe Sugarman. I knew right away when I saw his books on marketing that we had to have those books. Joe Sugarman had the background with JSNA Marketing, where he walked his talk. He direct marketed hundreds of different products
right.
successfully, as well as the Blue Blocker brand, and was able to successfully sell on TV and does so to this day. That's the type of guy I can easily promote to a Nightingale Kona customer, because not only is he credible in what he's accomplished, he's easy to work with, and he's very easy to relate to, and his story is just magnificent, and it's entertaining too at the same time. Because you can't just give people content-rich information without some fun to it. And some
no, you got to give me. I remember reading his book, Success Forces.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it's very good.
Back a long way on that one.
Yeah.
Guru on hard to find books.
Yeah, it was one I got probably about 8 years ago through some direct marketing guy. He had about 20 or 30 copies, and I got one of them.
You know, let me know if you come across any more, because I think Joe would be interested in buying some.
Joe Sugarman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's looking for his original books?
I think he only has a few of his own.
Isn't that funny? I get a lot of people call me who see my stuff, some of the authors of the material, and they don't have it, and they've lost it, and they look for it also.
Oh, absolutely. Well, your website's great.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Let's see. What else? I'm just thinking, you know, who comes to my site? Obviously, it's people looking for marketing information, but you got a lot of neophytes who don't know anything about marketing. Like I was saying, you know, I just want to pick people's brain and offer any kind of nuggets of inside information and different stuff. I mean, anyone can go buy tapes and listen to tapes and learn, you know, how to write copywriting, you know. I'm looking for more, you know, inside stuff, or, you know, I guess I would think if you had a son, you know, and you wanted to leave with him all the secrets of business or some secrets that you've learned throughout your life, you know, what would you tell him, you know, well, any idea, I'm just trying to think how to put it, you know, if you had a kid and you weren't going to be around and you could leave some audio tapes for him for some direction or some advice in business, in marketing, in advertising, you know, what kind of advice would you leave for him?
I think that there's a few different things. One thing comes to mind right away when you talk about copywriting. Copywriting is a brilliant talent to have, and I got copywriting experience not from even reading the books first. Where I got it from was I'm a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I've written a lot of poetry.
Yeah.
I've learned it from people who were teachers who were very good at it, and what that taught me how to do is condense the story. take the most interesting parts and put it in a condensed format, it very easily translates into writing copy. As far as on the business side, I think it's very important to do a couple things. Be a very good scout for partners and always try to find ways to spend the least money or use other people's money, which of course encompasses finding strategic partners.
Right.
For instance, the CD-ROM program, for instance, that I was telling you about that I produced with Nightingale Conant, I found a strategic partner to come in for a very low fee and actually do the production of it from the technical side, which was the video side, and actually putting the piece together. It cost us very little money, and it was a multi-million dollar product. But that was because I brought in a partner.
Now, was this your product you developed?
This was a product I did with Brian Tracy.
Oh, okay.
And Nightingale Conant.
Okay.
We're on that whole self-help talk.
Right.
That we put together called How to Become a Self-Made Millionaire. The partnership was the key.
So who
did the vision, but I had to have somebody who can put that actually into CD-ROM multimedia format.
So who did you go
with over? That would have been $500,000 to develop all the hours we put into it.
Yeah, who did? So what was your thinking? Who'd you go to, and or if you can say, and what kind of deal did you approach him with? How did you make it a win-win for him?
Well, I approached probably 45, 50 companies with the same deal, and what I offered was a royalty, and we would offer to pay, it was a few thousand dollars down plus a royalty.
Okay.
To market the program, they'd get an ongoing royalty and the prestige of, you know, saying that they did a product with us and Brian Tracy, which was very attractive to them because they needed a celebrity type program. And it worked out really well, and also got Atomic Imaging's name on all the computer store shelves.
So is that the company who did it?
Yeah, because I actually did the program with them in Simon & Schuster.
Okay. And has that, tell me about that that Brian Tracy product. Has it been a blockbuster seller?
Multi-million dollar seller.
Yeah, it's got like how many CDs in there, like 8 or 9?
No, actually one.
Just one CD?
Got it all in one CD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal product.
Okay.
I don't, you know, when you're on the subject of that, one of the things I tell people is to try to keep down the amount of CDs and cassettes that are in a program, because the more you put in there, the less likely someone is to go through it.
Yeah, that's probably pretty consistent with Nightingale Conant's programs. They're mainly 6 to 8 cassettes, right?
Right. People, I don't feel good about putting out a product just to sell it. I want somebody to go through it and use it, and I know you have a very similar philosophy in your business.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sell hard-to-find seminars and books, but you like the fact that people go through them and learn something.
Yeah.
I found, in my experience, and I've worked with other companies in Nightingale, it always comes back to people will listen to a single cassette or two cassettes. You start putting 6 cassettes, 12 cassettes, some of these people with 24 cassettes, and J. Abraham, you know, volumes of cassettes, the chances of the people going through that are slim to none.
Yeah.
Your diehard fans, of course, will always do that. But my suspicion is, and actually I've talked to several people who bought programs, these marketing programs by these gurus, you know, 24 cassettes, but people don't listen to them. They really actually look for a book. We had a lot of people who used to call up and say, we want the transcript.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, well, the bottom line is, who the hell, unless you're driving in your car for a long time, like you're in L.A. traffic or something, when the hell is a guy maybe who's married and has kids, when are you going to have time to listen to this stuff?
Right.
There just are not enough hours in the day.
Right, that's one reason that at Nightingale they started going to taking the workbooks out and actually sticking them on the CDs. Now you can do that. You couldn't do that with success. You could take the PDF file, stick it on a CD.
Right.
People want to download it and read it fine, but it was a waste of money to stick those in packages. People
are
not going through the workbook. They just were not doing it.
So what? Tell me about the marketplace out there, you know, in relation to cassette tapes and CD-ROMs. How is the public buying more CD-ROMs now rather than cassette, or is it half and half, or what's that like out there?
I'm curious, did you mean CDs?
CD-ROMs, listening to the audio on a CD-ROM rather than a cassette tape program.
Well, CD-ROMs for your computer.
Or your computer, okay, yeah, that's true, you've got your computer too.
Very few CD-ROMs in this realm. if you're talking about CDs that you can listen to in your car and, of course, on your computer, like you said, it's growing. At one time, it was 20, I remember just a few years ago, it was 25%, 75%, 25% were listening on CD. Now, the tables have turned, and maybe 20% your cassette audience. If you didn't offer cassette at all, you'd see that number actually shoot up on the CD side. I don't know many people who have a cassette player in their car anymore.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, I do, and I don't know. That's why I'm asking. So most people...
I don't think they sell them with cars anymore for the most part. Some have dual decks where you have both, but I don't see the option really anymore for cassette. I mean, CD's pretty standard.
So cassettes are a dying breed.
Definitely.
Huh.
But I wouldn't produce them myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had my own program. I never did it on cassette. I recorded a cassette version just in case we ever had to produce them. But I actually produced my program, two CDs with no cassette option.
So if anyone's going to produce his own information product, and you would recommend maybe if you want to put it on cassette, have it available for those people who absolutely want it. But for the most part, most of your sales are going to come through a CD.
Well... let's backtrack a second. What I meant to say, and maybe I didn't come across correctly, was I had a cassette version ready to go, but I also did the program a couple of years ago when they were still selling. I wanted to see were people buying CDs and was there a demand for cassette. The demand for cassette was so little, I didn't even bother producing.
No, I see.
So I would tell people now, and I have told authors already, go on CD only and don't offer the cassette. It's double inventory for nothing.
Now, what do you see in the future? What do you see 5 years down the road? All digital, MP3, downloadable from the internet? What's going to happen? What do you see 10 years from now with Nightingale Conan or these type products made available to the public?
You know, it's funny you say MP3. I'm sure in 10 years it'll be something else.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
MP3 is really here now for the most part. And I think that, you know, for the next couple of years, you'll be seeing more and more of that where you can download MP3 into, you know, almost like a Walkman type device.
Oh, you can already.
Yeah, I think that'll become the norm. At the same time, I think DVD is also going to get more popular, where people will be watching the seminars at home at their leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally like that idea a lot, and I think Dianetics is going to a DVD, and there's other companies that are looking at that. I know Jim Rohn has recently come out with a DVD set, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You get the full experience, like you're sitting at the seminar.
Right. Let me ask you this about a Nightingale customer. You know, when I buy this stuff, you know, there's people out there who are fanatics, and they'll buy anything and everything. So sometimes I'll get a call, or I'll find somebody who has some stuff to sell, and they have tons of stuff. Because they've all been cross-marketed to, like if I find the Jay Abraham student, he'll have Gary Halbert stuff, he'll have Bill Meyer stuff, he'll have all these guys because all these guys are doing joint ventures with each other.
Sure.
Now, from your experience with Nightingale Conan, what would you identify a certain customer like that, someone who just buys a boatload of stuff and who's just a fanatic on, you know, on motivational or educational materials?
That's your profile of somebody who generally doesn't listen to them.
Is that what you feel?
They buy a lot of stuff, and they sit on their shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And look pretty. And there are some people that go crazy with the stuff and buy anything Brian Tracy comes up with or anything Jay Abraham. I think Drew Carey, the comedian, if I remember right, buys everything we come out with that's new.
Really?
Yeah. We have an account with Drew Carey, and I believe he buys... we just send it to them automatically. I've been told that.
Mm-hmm. What percentage of your customers are like that? What percentage of your customers are like that who just devour this stuff compared to?
Oh, less than 3%.
Are most of your customers just one-hit wonders?
Oh, of course, and that's the same way with most direct marketing businesses. I mean, the whole business is structured on selling them a second product. If we could sell the majority of our customers a second product, we'd be much bigger.
Right.
You know, that's how a Victoria's Secret gets as big as it does, because they always manage to convince women to keep buying over and over again. I know because my wife gets a Victoria's Secret catalog. It seems like almost every day.
Right.
And she buys.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe, have you ever heard Gary Halbert talk about how you're one letter away from your next $1 million?
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people talk about that.
Do you believe it?
Well, if it's worked once, of course it can work. Can it happen for a lot of people?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say because, again, there's product, there's list, there's the copy itself that are all variables and very important to the mix. Probably the bottom line answer to that is, yeah, I'm sure it can work.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for everybody, and if it's easy, and absolutely not, and more people would be doing it.
Did you have a lot of experience with buying lists? You know, looking for lists to market Nightingale Conan's products?
I was not in charge of list building.
You weren't? Okay.
Could I do it? Yeah, and I knew a little bit about it, but is it something that I didn't personally want to get into it? That's a science.
Yeah. Who's your all-time favorite educator? Who do you think would say, who would you say has influenced you the most? Let's say besides that, what was the very first book you saw on your UPS manager's desk?
The Magic of Thinking Big.
And who wrote that?
David Schwartz.
David Schwartz. When was that written, like in the...
I think that was from the 60s.
And it was I've never read it, actually. Was it incredible?
Phenomenal book.
Okay.
Would I say it's my favorite book? No. I mean, I tend to, if I have to pick motivational speakers that I'll listen to more than others, I would say Mark Victor Hansen.
Uh-huh.
He's a good friend of mine also. Developed a good relationship with him. He has a set of tapes, How to Think Bigger Than You Ever Thought You Could Think.
Right.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
And Jim Rohn, The Art of Exceptional Living.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's great.
Yeah, that's just a classic product.
Uh-huh. Any other ones that off the top?
Of course, Earl.
Earl Nightingale.
I think it's phenomenal. If you want to get into the business, more of the business stuff, which is more what I like to listen to, I devour usually any tapes by any CEOs, Michael Eisner, Jack Welch, that type of a product.
Do y'all have a lot of those products?
I do personally.
I mean, yeah, you're not with Nightingale anymore, but...
They have some.
Uh-huh. But anywhere where you can get in, where you can get leverage. I mean, if you can listen to advice from a CEO, I mean, come on.
Exactly, and that's why, you know, I would devour their books too. I mean, I want to know what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of great marketing and management information you get out of those. Anything by P.T. Barnum.
Right, right.
Books, anything by Walt Disney and the Disney Corporation, things like that. You know, and again, other educators, I think that you can learn something from just about everybody. But again, you don't want to become a junkie and just listen to people and become a follower. I believe you should take a little of a lot of different people and then kind of make that work for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Be careful, because I've seen a lot of people fall in the trap where they'll start listening to a Brian Tracy and everything they say. And then, you know, they start living Brian's life. And again, you have to be careful with some of the things these people say on tape, because they may not be good for you. And quite honestly, in a lot of cases, they don't walk their talk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anyone in particular, but I mean, I know from being in the business.
A lot of these guys don't walk their talk. It's like Deepak Chopra, you know, he has that whole thing on, you know, health and everything, and that guy's like a chain smoker.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one actually I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't surprise me.
Uh-huh.
It's like the mechanic whose bumper's falling off your own car.
Yeah.
You hear those stories all the time, and the self-help industry is just loaded. And I don't have to give you any. It's anybody who's followed this industry for any longer than a few months has probably heard them all themselves.
Right.
But I've seen spiritual authors who, you know, have problems with hookers.
Oh, really?
Things of that nature. I've seen financial authors who declared bankruptcy, preaching the gospel about finance.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of things are disheartening. And one of the reasons that, you know, I got a little sick of the industry.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what I told you about credibility. I want to work with the most credible people. And quite honestly, I've taken those relationships to the next step outside of Nightingale, because I wanted to stay in touch and offer something of value to them and keep learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost like the motivational speaker has a negative rap in a way, you know?
Well, you know, everybody has to be human.
Yeah.
And anybody who claims there isn't, you know, really bothers me. It's just like one thing that is a pet peeve of mine in the self-help industry is I don't ever want to hear someone on a tape say, you don't have to go to college, you don't need that. You know, there's people who actually will buy into that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
college is not about getting rich. College is about learning to work.
Yeah.
It's about diversifying yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. And to discourage somebody saying you need it to get rich, there's a lot of people, and it's kind of sad, that judge you on the fact that if you've been to school, at least it looks like you've accomplished something in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that when I used to date, you know, one of the first questions that the girl's parents would always ask is, you know, what school did you graduate from? Did you go to college?
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're worried about you getting rich or not, but it says something about you.
Did you go to college?
Oh, of course. That would be kind of hypocritical if I didn't. Yeah, I graduated from Western Illinois.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I went to the University of Alabama and graduated there. And, hey, college was about, you know, first time being away from home and it having a great time. It's more of a social thing, even more so than the learning.
Right, and there's a lot of aspects to college. I just don't think it's right to ever tell somebody that, you know, you don't need it. Maybe you don't need it to live, and maybe you can make a living without it, but that's not the purpose of college. Nobody, and correct me if I'm wrong, told either one of us, you know, that we were going to get rich because we went to college. We went to college probably because we wanted to learn something.
Yeah, exactly.
And have that degree and at least open the door that may not be open to you. And it puts you in a different social circle, whether people want to believe it or not. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How much Gary Halbert stuff have you listened to or been exposed to?
I've listened to a lot of his stuff within other people's seminars, Dan Kennedy seminars, Paul Hartunian. I have How to Make Maximum Money in Minimum Time.
Okay.
And find it to be real phenomenal information.
Yeah.
Gary's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. That's what I say in my website. It is. He's got a great way of teaching, down to earth, no bullshit, tells it like it is.
He reminds me a lot of Dan Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he's a little more fun.
Yeah, Gary's a little more fun. Dan Kennedy, I have a hard time listening to some of his stuff.
Dan is one of those authors who people love him or hate him. I love him.
I mean, I like him, but he just...
It's with Dan, and he's a tough guy, but, you know, again, at least you know where you stand with him.
Uh-huh. That reminds me of a question I wanted to ask you. In the format of Nightingale Conan's stuff, is there a preference of the customers listening to a live formatted seminar or one that's done in a studio?
I have an answer to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
To answer your question, I think that the best way to do that is to kind of do a comparison. There's some people who like going to concerts. There's some people who like listening just to the record.
Mm-hmm.
What I've found, and a great example is that program I recommended to you, The Art of Exceptional Living.
Right.
It's nice to have both. It only works, though, if the author has a really interesting personality.
Yeah.
And it comes across as fun. In the studio, they don't tend to have as much fun, and I've worked with a lot of people in the studio.
Yeah.
But when you get them live, I think Brian Tracy may be my favorite example of that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Brian's tapes in the studio. Mm-hmm. I love his tapes live.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen, and I have his Mastery Academy series.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to it over and over. Yet, I also have his personal achievement program, Insights into Personal Achievement. I can't remember the name of it. The Science of Personal Achievement one. So
mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of it.
Maybe I'm thinking of psychology.
Action Strategies for Personal Achievement.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking about. That's comparable in size. I think it's a 12-volume, 2-cassette.
Uh-huh.
Versus the Mastery Academy one. I listen to the Mastery Academy over and over, and it's because Brian's personality is so phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in front of an audience, he's like Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Look out. I mean, these guys are just dynamic. Jim Rohn's another example. So to answer your question, I would say people will tend to like the live tapes more
mm-hmm.
if you have the personality for it, because there's an audience interaction that comes across and you feel like you're in the middle of it. You don't get that in the studio.
Yeah.
If you get an author who can't read well in the studio, you have another problem altogether, because it sounds like they're reading off a page as opposed to being conversational
mm-hmm.
and talking to you one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, Brian Tracy's live event, were you guys involved? Did Nightingale Conant set that live event up for recording, or what? Did he have it already going and it was professionally recorded in conjunction with you guys, and that was the program you decided to use?
The set that I just described to you was one he did on his own.
Okay.
That we had nothing to do with, and it was just a phenomenal recording.
Uh-huh. What are these guys' lifestyles like Brian Tracy and Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins? Do you know?
Well, that's a loaded question. They're all different.
Yeah. How about Jim? Who would you know most about? Or to give an idea.
Brian Tracy's a very businessy, business-oriented type of guy where he's on the road a lot. He wants to speak a lot. Then you have the Victor Hansons who speak, you know, a considerable amount, but they do a lot of charity work.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of work with his books. He's a very good family man.
Yeah.
You have Tony Robbins, who's kind of, you know, the young renegade
mm-hmm.
who, you know, has his Mastery Academy that he deals with and a lot of seminars, and he does a lot of networking,
mm-hmm.
you know, which a lot of these guys do. So I think that there's just a whole different range. I mean, I know authors who are great family people. I know some authors who like to run around with women everywhere.
Yeah, I guess everything, everyone's different.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, as long as they're not preaching one thing and doing another, that's when I have a problem with it.
Are these guys all millionaires, do you think?
No.
They're not?
No, some are.
So very few of them really are multimillionaires.
Well, most of them are just out there speaking. So whatever they can conjure up speaking, that's their income. Some have investments. Some, again, like a Joe Sugarman, I mean, he's the big time. I mean, he's an author who owns a huge company and a huge brand, and he would be an example of somebody who would be up in the financial stratosphere.
I mean, I would think Brian Tracy, I mean, I guess just my impression, which doesn't mean shit, the guy's like a multimillionaire.
He would fall more into the financially secure category than a lot of other guys.
Uh-huh.
Your perception is correct on Brian. I mean, again, I'm not his banker, but
yeah.
He's not. He doesn't appear to be hurting, and I've never seen any evidence of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what are you working on right now that's really exciting? That
personally, I'm working on marketing and PR campaign for a retailer that's really exciting for me. I'm working with another seminar company in California.
Mm-hmm.
I have several projects going at one time as well as working on my entertainment company.
Right.
And those are the things I want to focus on. I really want to keep my own business going and meet as many people as I can.
Do you work out of your house?
Yeah.
Okay. It's nice.
To me, that's the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it has its pros and cons, but I tend to find the leverage more on the pro side.
Yeah, I agree.
I recommend it to anyone who has the discipline.
I agree. How old are you?
I'm 36.
You're 30? Wow. I'm 37. I thought you were older than me.
Now I'm 37 years old. I've had a pretty packed life since I was a teenager when I started my first sales job at 13.
And what was it?
Selling meat to poor people.
Selling meat, huh?
That was my first experience. It was almost like a Carnival Barker. We used to have these stores called Zayer in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
They were deep discount stores, and I used to work the South Side.
Zayer's with a Z. A Z. Was it called
Zayer, but...
Oh, okay.
I used to work, actually, we used to set up a meat counter and sell to people with food stamps. And if you want to talk about hard selling,
mm-hmm.
you had to be good to pull that off. And I learned right then and there just how to treat people and how to really treat a sales situation. And those experiences still last with me today. I still see myself and how I had to sell and upsell people back then. And those people had no money.
What did you do? Okay, let's talk about it. So you were 13 then, huh?
Yep.
What'd your mom and dad do?
At that time, I believe my father was a pipe fitting at that time,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was an executive assistant, which she always has been.
Uh-huh. And what was your next business experience you can remember after doing that? How long did you do the meet for, do you remember?
Off and on for a year.
Uh-huh.
And I got into high school, and took a little while off typical working in my early days of high school. When I was 15, I became an usher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I fell in love with the entertainment business.
Okay. You're an usher for movies, movie theater? Or?
No, usher for rock concerts.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah.
Had a lot of fun doing that. And then my first break into business was when I got into UPS at, I think I was 18 when I started UPS, and I was already a manager by 20, which at the time was unheard of.
Did you start as a driver?
No, I started at UPS actually as an unloader,
mm-hmm.
went into sorting, and then from sorting went right into management.
Uh-huh.
I had a very quick career path with UPS. I didn't want to drive. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. Those union jobs and stuff, that just wasn't my career path.
Right, right. Okay. Are you still writing music today?
Just lyrics.
Just the lyrics? Now, so what? When you write lyrics, what's your goal? Is it to get a recording artist to sing them?
Well, it's kind of funny you asked that question at this time. I've actually just compiled them for now, and then I'm working with a recording artist now who's going through them, who it looks pretty promising.
Uh-huh.
That we're going to get some of the songs out, and whether they do well or not is another issue in itself.
But it's just more of a passion.
Yeah, just to get them out there and hear them actually come to life, because I'm not much of a music writer per se, and I have a background in singing and playing the drums from the college and high school days, but it's not something that I chose to pursue as a career.
Right.
I like to be on the other side of the entertainment.
Mm-hmm. All right, interesting. All right, well, Peter, I'm sure I've got more stuff to ask you, but I can't think of it right now, actually.
Well, if you have any other questions, we can do another session.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And anyone listening to this, I'm going to re-listen to our talk, because sometimes I'm focusing so much on the questions, you know, I don't really get to hear everything. So I get a lot out of it, re-listening to it over and over again. I mean, sometimes I'm sitting here in front of my computer and I've got like, you know, I'm like, hey, let me go check one of these conversations I did out. Go back to my audio clip page. There's some pretty interesting audio clip interviews I've done with people.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going up and looking at those.
There's about 50 of them. Do you have a cable modem or a high-speed connection?
Yeah.
Okay, good. If you don't, I've heard, I do, and I'm probably a little insensitive to some people, because some of these recordings are over an hour and people have dial-up lines. It could be the sound sometimes doesn't come out real good, and it's hard for these people to download it, but you should have no problem.
No, cable modem will come out nice.
Oh, yeah, it should be fine. Well, what I'll do for you, like I said, I'll save this in a MP3 file. I'll stick it somewhere where only you can see it. I'll shoot you an email and tell you where it is, and you can check it out, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Okay, that sounds good. Did you have any closing questions or something you wanted me to answer?
No, nothing I can think of. I just wanted to shoot the shit with you, and you've given me a lot of information, and anyone listening, I'm sure they've learned something from it. And all I want to do is pick people's brain and try and extract some of your life experiences, and hopefully you giving back in the conversation can benefit some, you know, others in some way. And I'm sure it will.
It's Michael with Michael Senoff, HardToFindSeminars.com, and another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. minutes. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information product that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. This tip is one that is dear to my heart, and the reason why is because I know what a difference it can make for your business. It has to do with editing your audio recordings. If you are using audio online or offline to sell, market, and educate your prospects, this tip will be the most important tip you ever hear from me. Editing your audio content before you publish it to your site simply gets better results compared to unedited audio content. Think about this. A new song on the radio may be in the editing studio for months before it's released to the public. A new movie may take years in the editing process before it's released to the big screen or on DVD. Well-written sales letters, online promotions, books, and commercials are all meticulously edited to perfection before they are released. You would never dream of releasing an unedited version of any of these sales vehicles. So why would you publish unedited audio? Unedited audio content is abandoned by the listener faster, it produces less sales for you, and it actually destroys your credibility as a publisher. So why are we seeing so much unedited content proliferating the internet? The reason is simple. There are very few people who offer audio editing services who know what they are doing. Editing audio is kind of like plastic surgery. It's part skill and part an art form. You need someone with both the skill to do it and someone who understands marketing and selling. A poor result can be gained by both a skilled surgeon as well as a good technical editor. Who you choose to do your audio editing can be one of the best investments in your business. At HardToFindSeminars.com, we have been editing online and offline web content for 6 years. We have perfected a proprietary editing system that has been proven to get your customers to listen to your audio content longer and to listen to it more often, resulting in more sales for you more often, and with clean edited audio, you can demand more money for your products and services. It's just like in life, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every time you release and publish unedited audio content, you are projecting a poor, sloppy, I don't care attitude that turns your prospects off. Do your prospects a favor. Service them. Give them your best. do them a favor by giving them professionally edited audio messages, interviews, teleseminars, and selling promotions by editing your audio. We provide full audio editing services that are fast and at a reasonable rate. We know that editing your audio content can easily pay for itself 20 times over. Call me, Michael Sinoff, for more information at 858-274-7851. I'll spend some time on the phone with you. We'll determine what audio content you're publishing. I'll be glad to offer you a free consultation on my ideas. I'll review some of your audio, and together we'll come up with a solution that gets you better results. Thanks for listening. Here is another bonus tip from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Did you know that I have about 25 hours of exclusive consultations on my audio clips page, letter G? If you go to HardToFindSeminars.com, go to the audio clips section. This is a section where I have over 117 hours of audio interviews. Page G is nothing but consultations on information product development. You have over 25 hours of me giving my best advice on how to create, develop, produce, market, and sell audio information products. Go to page G if you want to learn how to create and market your own information products. Enjoy. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, hardtofindseminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it. Here's another tip, and it has to do with podcast. Did you know that not only are all 187 hours of my audio recordings available for free online at my website, hardtofindseminars.com, but each one of these audio recordings is also in the form of what's called a podcast. A podcast is a simple way for you to digitally and automatically subscribe to online and new recordings and have them downloaded into your mobile audio player, like an iTunes, iPod, or any other digital audio playing device. But the way you find my recordings on podcasts is by going to one of the number one sites called iTunes. iTunes is a virtual library for music, spoken word, and podcasts. The music and spoken word audios you'll pay money for, but the podcasts are absolutely free. And you can subscribe to my podcast. All you do is go to iTunes. You'll automatically download the iTunes software, and then you will search Michael Sinoff in the subject line, and you will find most of my audio recordings right there available for you to download. This is great if you're on the road or you're on another computer, and if you have a mobile device, it'll automatically suck them right into your digital MP3 player, and you can take any of the audio recordings on the road with you. They'll also automatically notify you of any new recordings that I post as podcasts. Also, if you search through Google or Yahoo or any of the major search engines, Michael Sinoff, and then podcast, you'll find other resources with other podcast search engines that host my podcast. I hope this helps, and if you're a podcast listener, I think you'll be happy about this. So go over to iTunes and download the iTunes software and search Michael Sinoff, and you'll have all my audio recordings available for you right there. If you'd like to hone your skills as a copywriter, I have available for you the largest collection of one of the all-time master copywriters. His name is Claude Hopkins. Do a search on Claude Hopkins or go to my website, claudehopkinsadvertising.com. Claude Vaughn Hopkins was one of the founders of modern day advertising. He was one of the all-time legends in the industry, and myself and a partner have authored a book called The Claude Hopkins Advertising Collection. We have also searched thousands of newspapers to pull out all his classic ads. He's been responsible for building companies like Pepsodent Toothpaste, Palmolive, Schlitz Malt Liquor, many household products like puffed wheat cereal that you're still using in your kitchens today, and he was the master and the genius behind this. He was responsible for many of the cars we drive today, like the Oldsmobile. Go check it out, ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com, if you want the ultimate in education on how to write copy. You cannot pass this up. So go on over to ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com and learn from the best. Here is another bonus resource for you, and it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. You'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this. If you go back to my site, and in the products page, along the light blue section down on the left, you're going to see another link that has a lot of value, and it all has to do with joint ventures. Go to that page, and you're going to hear about an offer on a joint venture system like no other. If you read the letter there, it'll describe all the benefits, and the offer is virtually risk-free, meaning you can order my joint venture system, have it sent to you without paying a dime, have 30 days to review it, to digest all the information, and only if you're happy with it after 30 days do you pay. It's an offer you can't lose on, and if you're enjoying this content, you're really going to love what I have waiting for you on the joint venture link at the products page at hardtofindseminars.com. Go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.